What is going on, everyone? Welcome to a Theology of Hustle and a special episode 50/1 year anniversary episode, which is pretty sweet, actually. So this is a little different than normal because it's been a year as of tomorrow, May 1st. As it's been a year and 50 episodes, we felt like it was be fun to do something a little different, something we haven't done in a while. So we had JJ come back on mic and do another interview of me. And really, it's less an interview and more us talking about life, like since the podcast, which is kind of fun. We talk about all sorts of stuff. We take some listener questions. We delve into our adoption story, which is something that really speaks to us. And I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Having JJ on the show is always amazing. So I think you'll enjoy hearing from her yet again. 50 episodes is a lot. And I just want to thank all of you listeners who have like kept listening, who've kept going and have rated and reviewed and shared and, you know, all the things. And I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to all my podcast guests. I mean, 49 people, 50 people, it's just pretty cool that people take time out of their schedules to talk to me. And it's been cool. 50 feels big to me. Feels like an insurmountable goal as of last year, but we did it. We did it together. And so, yeah, this is a little bit of a celebration. It's a fun episode. I hope you enjoy hearing from it. If you have questions off of this episode, please keep the conversation going. Let's chat on social media or, you know, wherever you follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Theology of Hustle. Let's keep the conversation going. And if you have people that you think I should be interviewing, let me know that too. I'd love to chat with people. So, yeah, I hope you enjoy hearing from JJ and myself on this very special episode 50.
Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. I am your guest host, JJ Blanford, here interviewing Curry to celebrate 50 episodes and 1 year anniversary, birthday. I don't know what we call it.
Yeah, 50 episodes. That's bizarre, isn't it?
Right. So we're celebrating A Theology of Hustle.
Yes.
And to Curry's joy, I have lots of ideas about how things should go. And so my idea was that I interview him for this episode just to kind of see what's the year been like. And after enough prodding and begging,
I don't know if there was begging. You don't prodding, really do that.
That's true.
You just tell me what to do and I do it.
Right. But this took longer to convince you was a good idea. But still, here we are. And so we're just going to celebrate. And so because I'm in control, I get to gush about just how proud I am of you and for sticking with this and just all the cool things that are happening because of this podcast. And so I'm super proud and I'm super excited to chat about the show.
Yeah, thanks, hon. I appreciate that. That means a lot. You're already crying.
I know. And we're not even 2 minutes in. It's going to be fun, friends.
Right.
So I've got some questions. We have some listener questions, a lot of listener questions. A huge shout out to our friends who asked really awesome intentional questions. So, ready to get started?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So first things first, what have you learned from this podcasting journey?
Yeah. That's a big question, I guess, right? I guess one of my biggest learnings has been, just that God uses every second of your story to use your work for his kingdom. I mean, it's like you look at the people that have been on this podcast, and again and again and again, it is, this is my life story, and this is how all that has shaped me to do what I do today. And it's just kind of incredible. I don't know that I, like, going into the podcast, realized that that was going to be the case per se. You know, it's kind of fun hearing people's stories, but just like how shaping all that is for what people do and why they do it, and like the passion and the drive and, you know, the hustle, is just incredible, I think. So I think, yeah, that was one of my biggest learnings. I don't know if this is a time to talk about it, but I did have one other learning that led me to actually change some of the wording of the podcast.
For
so
sure.
When I started, it was work, ministry, and the people who make an art out of bringing them together, right? And very early on, I realized that I had a very narrow view of what God was doing in people's work lives, right? That, like, I guess I was trying to flip this whole thing on the head that it's pastors that do all the ministry, and trying to show that people do ministry. And I guess by ministry, I meant kind of loving on people, doing evangelism, that sort of thing. And I quickly realized that God is building his kingdom in so many ways that, like, you just can't see, that aren't tangible, that aren't like, this is how I spread the gospel per se at work. But it's like, I am creative and I create things, and it may not like specifically show the gospel in any sort of way, but God's kingdom is all encompassing, and that's part of it, I guess. And so I switched to work, God's kingdom, and the people who make an art out of bringing them together, because I feel like I had too narrowly defined what ministry was per se, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yes. I love that. Okay. And I do love the stories that you share. And I mean, so often I've either heard snippets while you're editing, or there's someone that I've tracked down on the internet that I want
to
know
that, yes.
more
yes.
about. So I like ask them to be on the podcast, which isn't awkward at all. But I think you're telling so many really incredible stories. So super challenging question, but who have been some of your most favorite guests on the show?
Oh, geez. Yeah, one that particularly stands out is Helen Smith. I've had other people say that she's their favorite as well. But she is a woman who lost her entire family in one day, right? She's a family friend. We've known her forever. Our youngest son is named after her, you know? Mm-hmm. And her story, oh my goodness. And I guess going into Helen's, what was interesting is I had people be like, well, but she doesn't, like, right now she doesn't have a vocation per se, right? She's sort of retired, or, you know, does volunteer work. And the crazy part about her story is that her family was her work, right? And so she lost her work in one fell swoop, right? She goes from, like, having a hustle, working, doing God's work on this world, to having nothing to do. And so the point of her podcast was this, like, what do you do when God takes your work away, right? Like, gosh. And if you haven't listened to her episode and you're listening to this right now, you need to go back and listen to that episode, because,
and get your tissues ready.
Right.
Because we know the story, and I cry every time. But it is such a beautiful story of God's redemption. Is there anybody else that you can think of that was a favorite interview?
My favorite all-time guest has to have been you.
You're such a dork. If you were really smart, though, you would have said my mom.
Well, that's true. That is true. Kathy, yes. Kathy is the most faithful Theology of Hustle listener.
This is true.
So I have to say a shout out to Kathy. And Kathy's story is a great one, too. I think I got a lot out of hers, because it's a story of how vocation changes throughout your life, and how God's building his kingdom in each of those vocations, wherever, whatever you're doing, you know?
Right. Also, how much cool. she loves you that she agreed to be interviewed.
So. That is true.
And she's going to die when she listens to all this. So we love you, Lulu.
Go on and check Kathy's episode, though. But I thought a lot about this question because I figured you were going to ask it. And I just think that I love digging into people's lives. You know, it's so cool to, like, I don't know, get into the nitty gritty with people about their story. And I think everybody has a beautiful story. And I think that all these stories are, like, very interesting to me, which makes this job fun, you know, because it is. I mean, everybody has a direction that they've gone. They have a reason they do what they do. They have, like, a story behind the story. And, like, getting to that is always, like, the fun part for me, you know? And so I think in each episode, in some little way, somebody's story has spoken to me in, like, a profound way, you know? Yeah. And that's, like, I find that little nugget or whatever, and I just, like, pursue that, you know? And so I really do enjoy each and every episode and meeting new people and chatting with people. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So one of the questions I had written was, like, most surprising listener, which I realize is super awkward to start calling people out. But I mean, I think it's worth noting just the number of people in all different settings that we literally have no idea the reach of the podcast.
Yeah.
And who the people are that are listening. And so I guess if you find yourself being the listener, we would love just to, like, hey, I listen, send a DM or an email, because we have been truly shocked by people in our community who we didn't even know Curry was doing a podcast, who are faithful listeners. And so if you have enjoyed the show, to celebrate 1 year, since it's not Curry, it's less awkward for me to say it, but send a note, comment on Instagram, send an email, and just let him know that you're listening. Because it's so cool to know who is joining this journey with us.
That's cool. Yeah. And your favorite episode?
My favorite
episode? No, and
your...
Yeah, send your favorite episode along with it.
You know? For sure.
That's interesting, right?
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry, wasn't tracking with you. Okay. We may get to this more in, like, a listener question as well, but what areas of growth do you see either within yourself or within the podcast? Like, kind of, how do you see this endeavor growing?
How do I see the podcast growing?
Mm-hmm. Or yourself on the journey?
That's a good question. I think this podcast has taught me a lot about myself in good ways and in bad ways, I guess. I didn't realize how much of a connector I was, how suited I was for this sort of work until we've done it. You agree?
For sure. Totally agree. The number of random new friends that you've made is truly incredible.
Yeah. And I sort of undervalued maybe that skill set that I have in myself. And so I think the podcast even has made me more confident as a person to, like, kind of get out there and...
For sure. Cold call randos.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, put myself out there a little bit, you know, because it's not easy.
And the work has paid off with some really awesome interviews.
For sure. For sure.
Which the hustle and the awkwardness, like, totally worth it.
Yeah, I think I've also been ghosted by a lot of people.
Also true. But we're not here to talk about that.
But it's I mean, you're really putting yourself out there. And, you know, I've had people, like, respond, like, hey, I'm all in, and then just, like, go silent, you know, like a lot of people do that to me, which speaks to my second point, which is I've had to get over myself a lot. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as a three, we talk about me being a three a lot, but as a three, I think I've discovered that I have this tendency that if something isn't crazy successful, I have the desire to tuck and run, right? To I want to avoid failure at all costs. And sometimes that causes me to just give up on things too soon. And so even with those guests that, like, don't come on, like, I have a propensity to, like, get really frustrated about that sort of stuff. It feels like, why don't they want to come on? What's wrong with me? You know, making it all about me, because that's super healthy. But just to kind of get over myself and be like, hey, it's really not that big a deal. God didn't, and I really do think I've been led by the Holy Spirit to the people that have been on my podcast. Sure. And so if the Holy Spirit doesn't think it's time for that person or doesn't want them on, then I don't want them, you know?
Right.
And so I think that those two things have been pretty huge learnings and like affected a lot of the rest of my life.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree. So my last question before we move to some of the listener questions is, like, I know the goals and where you would love this to go in the future, but like, as a dreamer, I would love for you to share, like, what do you dream this outlet becomes for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. And one I don't have a great answer to, I guess.
That's fine.
I don't know. This project started as like a really awesome creative outlet for me. I've never gotten to do anything that was totally me, you know. Right. I've always designed and I've always done stuff for other people. And so my designs and my eye and the way I can make things look and the quality have always been subject to somebody else, you know. And so this is the first thing that's ever been mine. Like, you can tell by my website that like nobody in their right mind builds something like that, you know?
Also, if you haven't been to the website, curryblandford.com.
Yes.
It'll make your day.
Yeah,
I smile epic. Every time I look at it. It's awesome.
I just get to do whatever I want, which is like super fun. And so I think if the podcast were to just do that, it would be okay with me. And I'm saying that as a three, an achiever, people. I mean, that's big time stuff, but I don't know where this podcast heads necessarily. There's something very valuable about what the podcast is doing.
I agree.
In showing people the importance of their work in God's kingdom. I mean, it's like, it feels like a no-brainer, but nobody else is really doing it per se, at least that I know of on this scale, yes, you know,
that we have found.
Right.
And we have searched hard.
Yeah. I mean, and I've come across a lot of people, but they're not doing it in the same way that I am. They're not showcasing these people. They're, yeah. And so, yeah, I don't know what that looks like. And I don't know that I have ambitions for like book writing. Actually, I've been interviewing a lot of authors, and to be honest with you, book writing kind of looks like a more hustle than I am wanting to accomplish. I mean, it's just, it's a grind. It's a straight up grind, you know? And so, and I'm really bad at writing. So I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. I think I'd like to speak on the topic more, maybe, but I don't know that I really have my mind sort of wrapped around it still, you know? I'd like to continue, I guess. That's, yeah.
Sounds great.
Is that all right?
I say yes.
Do I need to have more achiever sort of?
No. I still want to do a live show.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You're dead on. That has been my dream from the beginning, basically.
For sure.
It will happen.
It will happen. And it may be in our backyard.
It's going to be in our backyard. Okay. It's going to be in our backyard. It's going to be a party. So,
for sure.
But the mosquitoes, you know.
We'll have it taken care of.
Yeah,
we will. Yeah. Okay. So let's move into some of the listener questions. And I've kind of divided them between like podcast stuff and just our personal life and ministry stuff. And friends, like, I know I already said it, but y'all sent some awesome questions. So let's start with, what has been the hardest thing for you about podcasting?
Mm-hmm. The hardest thing about podcasting, I think, has been, there's been weeks where I just straight up did not want to / have time to cut an episode.
Truth.
Right?
Right.
Man, there's been so many weeks that I wanted to just skip. And I've only skipped 3 weeks this entire year.
All to celebrate Jesus.
Yes.
So
Christmas,
New Year's. To be.
Yes. Christmas, New Year's, and then Holy Week. I would say finding the strength to sort of do that sometimes was a grind.
For sure.
But I never regretted it. You know what I mean? It's never like, oh, I should have used that time some way else. Like getting an episode out was always worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think finding the time in some circumstances, but there was also a measure of like, I could have utilized my time more effectively earlier in the week. So, you know.
Details.
Yeah, you know.
What's been the biggest surprise of this journey or of podcasting for you?
I am shocked. I'm still shocked. Every time somebody like listens to or hears about my show and then is like all in on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess there's always this aspect of like, am I like just crazy, you know? But it's always amazing to me when people are like, oh, that is such a great idea and like want to be on the show or like want to get involved or like, you know, leave reviews or listening regularly. I mean, that's like, it means a lot to me, you know?
Right. I mean, it's what you want.
Yeah.
And I think we're still surprised like, yeah. Oh, other people like this as much as we do. Yeah. And that feels like, it also feels really vulnerable to like put out your art.
Very vulnerable, yes.
And wait for people to respond of, is it worthy? Is it beautiful? Is it worth people's time? And I think those, while I love it because I'm your wife and I think it's awesome, I find myself being surprised by people who are listening or who do so deeply value it or hear the vision and just get behind it and share your episodes and want to be a part. And I totally agree. I think I have been floored by people who don't know us personally that are all in and so supportive. And I think I've been surprised too by, I know this isn't about me, but I've been so surprised with the people, like the relationships that we have made.
Yeah.
Through this podcast, mm-hmm. and like genuine friendships.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy to me that
it is.
We like are meeting people from the internet in real life, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's the beauty of social media, right? It's that good side of social media that's
for
like
sure.
not making you feel bad about your entire life all the time, but actually connecting you with people. Like, I've seen a lot of that. It's been pretty cool.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's so cool in all of this is shout out to Maggie, one of our kids from youth group who was submitting questions, which I love.
Thank you, Maggie.
Do you ever delete things because you don't like how something was delivered or how something was answered?
Which is like a very good question. Very good question. And honestly, I was racking my brain. I don't think that I have deleted something because I did not like how it played. Pretty much anything anybody's ever said makes it into their podcast, unless, and I have had this happen on a few occasions, they say something that they don't want in the podcast.
Right.
You know, just random stuff, right? I mean, nothing like
you horrible, know. But people right. have come back yeah. and said like, oh, someone might listen. I wouldn't want them to be hurt by what I said. Right. I wasn't thinking, because I think, again, I get to sing your praises because I also have a microphone. But I think when you listen to this show, like you don't always realize that these are people that you don't know, like that it's over the internet, because your connection to people is so authentic.
Right.
It doesn't seem like it is authentic. And I think you have this ability to like draw out people's stories and their journeys. And I love like listening to your chemistry with people and being like, you're using your gifting not only as a creative, but like to give people space to be heard and known and to share their stories. My social worker heart is always so happy with the story sharing.
Well,
so.
It was, and to that point, I think it was 10 years of Starbucks that has equipped me to have conversations with people at
all
this
people.
Level.
It's like the greatest yeah, gift of Starbucks
and
ever.
That job drove me bonkers every single day, pretty much. And again, you go back to that story, you know, and how God like does not never misses using something
for his kingdom.
For sure. And
there's no other way to get good at talking to people than to just talk to a lot of people all the time.
All the time. And it's super fascinating because it is for sure a skill set. So, okay. I also loved this one. Was there an alternate or runner-up name for the podcast?
There was a brief time when I was trying to name the podcast that I wanted the name Hustleology. And so I started Googling it, and Hustleology is like some other big podcast. I don't know what it's about per se. I assume the hustle, but, Theology of Hustle was like basically the second name that I really pursued, and it like nobody had had it. And it just sort of all fell into place really easily. And I actually like it a lot more than Hustleology. It's way more descriptive, I think, of what I do.
For sure. Sorry, this is totally off the cuff, but I don't know that you've ever shared how you decided to start a podcast. And if you have shared that, it was so long ago that no one's going to go track that down. Yeah. So
how did I decide to start a podcast?
I again do believe that it was your wife.
Oh, so did you bring that up just to pat yourself on the back?
No, I think it was one of those. Remember, they were saying you should start blogging and writing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love you so much.
Yes, right.
And that's not your skill set. So you need to do something else.
Yeah. When I was speaking at Refresh,
right,
we decided that I needed something out in the world. And I said, maybe I've tried starting blogs, a couple of blogs. We both had a few blogs.
True.
But I am just the worst at writing. I'm just so bad. Her friend Laura, poor Laura, pretty much anything that I write, she has to like do copy for, you know? So
anything we write,
anything. Yes.
I also send to Laura to have her.
She has to edit all of our stuff.
Right. And she's gifted in that way. And she makes beautiful things out of our garbage.
Right. Yes. And so we decided that since I can't write, I should do a podcast, because what I can do is talk fancy, you know? and so, yes, that is where the podcast came from. And I think in determining a topic for a podcast like this, it can be difficult to kind of come up with something that's like new and fresh, but something that I mean, I've always been bivocational, like as a pastor, right? I mean, even in grad school, I was full-time in grad school at Wheaton and worked full-time.
Because you didn't find a sugar mama, found a social worker. Yeah,
that is true. A wonderful, beautiful social worker.
Who made no money.
Made no money, yes. So that's one thing I've always been very good at. And I think my parents, you know, are a testament to that. Like, they have always taught me how to work and work hard. And I think, it was kind of this easy topic for me, because it was like, oh yeah, this is like what I do. You know, I hustle and I do it for the kingdom, and you know, it's an easy topic, I guess. So yeah, it all kind of fell into place. Right. And even a theology of hustle, right? Like, big theological works, or a theology of creation, or a theology of whatever. So a theology of hustle, like, sort of blends this like very practical hands-on theology with like a higher level theology, where we're sort of bringing academic theology and practical theology sort of together as one, which is very much, I think, who I am, right?
For sure.
I have an academic side, but I think that I'm pretty good at making it applicable and understandable to almost everyone.
For sure. I mean, again, I'm biased, but I do believe that is true. I appreciate that.
Let's throw out a listener question. We'll see what they think.
Okay. Dream guest.
Man, this one's so hard. I have to go with somebody like one of my favorite rappers, right?
For sure.
I'm a big hip hop fan. So like if Lecrae,
I was thinking.
Interviewing Lecrae would take me like 8 hours, just because I have so many questions.
Know Lecrae, Andy Mineo, can hook us up.
Yeah, we would appreciate that. We would definitely appreciate that. I think maybe somebody like, and I don't even know, where in Christianity this fits per se, but I know like there's some athletes that are big Christians. Oh my gosh, it's escaping me. The Eagles quarterback.
Like I'm going to know the name of the Eagles quarterback.
My bad. But like Steph Curry, right? I'm not exactly sure. And I don't know the ins and outs of people's lives, but like there are some like pretty high level athletes that claim to be Christians that I think it would just be interesting to chat with about what that looks like. I have bigger questions for them. Like how in the world do you keep not crazy, you know, like with that amount of money and that amount of fame and Carson Wentz.
Nick Foles.
Well, Nick Foles is, yes.
Yeah.
Nick Foles Carson just got Wentz. Traded, I think.
Okay.
But yes, Carson Wentz. And Nick Foles, though, is a big professing Christian as well.
Okay. Well, the Google.
The Google, yeah.
Taught me that.
Wow. I appreciate that. So I think that would be something that I think that'd be cool. I don't know. It's really, I was going to say it's really intimidating. It's really not that intimidating, actually. The more I talk to people, the more I realize, like, we're just all people, right? Like, Lecrae's just a dude.
For you know? Sure.
He's a dude that I've listened to music from for a long time, but still just a dude, you know? So. Right.
Okay, so another hard-hitting question.
Yeah.
Kansas City or Texas barbecue?
This is Five Coat.
Oh,
jeez.
Which I still haven't been to that barbecue place he recommended.
Oh, man. So this is a little unfair. I can't really answer this question. I don't know that I've truly had like pure Kansas City barbecue. So I can't really say,
I feel like as a Texan, can you actually say that Kansas City is better?
I would not be able to anyway, you know, because I'm a Texan.
Right. I feel like they'd like take our birth certificates and kick us out of the state. They would.
Yes. So, thank you, Tyler, for putting me in that awkward position of, you know, but, yes, someday. So we need to go to Kansas City and just
eat barbecue.
Barbecue. So if anybody has any good barbecue places in Kansas City, let us know.
For sure.
And people to interview.
Any connections you have, we'd like to utilize them to benefit a theology puzzle.
Actually, there is one. There's somebody in Kansas City that I would love to interview. His name is Josh Scott, and he owns JHS Guitar Pedals. And I watch his vlog
religiously,
religiously
with our children, and they're all about it too.
Yes. Bennett is a very big pedal, guitar pedal guy. And I just think he's one that we would just hit it off and talk for like days. Right. And he's got this cool, like he has the biggest pedal collection I've ever seen. I would love to just like look at all of his stuff and like, anyway, so that'd be a cool one. So if anybody knows Josh Scott,
I love that we're using this time to like, also, to you know, any connections you have,
we're all about the hustle, baby.
Right. So, gosh, like the next bunch are from JG. So, and they're all intense. How do you rest well from the hustle? And as I was reading this, I realized like not something that we would put on social media, but I have started working more. And yes. So I'm basically working full time, mm-hmm. which means that you are a full time stay at home dad. And so that
in addition to my other full-time jobs,
for sure.
Yeah,
and I think that has changed your hustle. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like what does rest look like for you?
Well, there's a lot more pictures of Britton on Instagram now. He's super cute though, so it's
he is super cute.
I feel like JG asked this question as an indictment, like is like trying to like confront me on this topic.
If you are resting.
Yes, exactly. Because this is not my forte. In fact, it's the opposite of my forte. I think for me in this season, because it is so hectic, like taking little time for myself is everything. Golf. Right. Is something I really appreciate. And it's, something I do with friends. And that is something that I just have to like get out and go golfing, you know? And so for me, there is not the capacity or the ability to do a 24-hour Sabbath like I should do, like is biblical, you know. It's not feasible. It's not possible in this season of life. And even if it was, it would involve a 2-year-old, which is not a Sabbath. So I think finding those times and like being relentless about pursuing those times, right? Like
for sure.
My mornings, getting even 15 minutes in of reading the Bible, right? I mean, I just have to be relentless about that or else it's just not going to happen. And so, for me, I'm in a season of taking it when I can, you know, and taking the rest when I can and getting little bits of rest when I can and, telling people like my wife when I need to rest.
Sure.
So I don't know if that helps or answers any questions, but that's a tough one.
So the next one is equally easy to answer. How do you know when to cut back?
When you're so stressed out, you can't see straight anymore. I don't know. I'm in a constant conversation with God about my work, I think. And I don't mean that to sound like really holy, because it's not super holy. It's more like, I'm holding on for dear life a lot of times and that like, I very much trust God that he puts in my path, important things for me to do and will tell me when it's time to stop certain things or pick up other things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, knowing when to cut back is less like a, how I feel sort of scenario mm-hmm. for me mm-hmm. and more of a, what is God having me do in this season right now. And so, and throughout our lives, I would say there's been seasons where it has been just as hectic as you could imagine. There's been other seasons where it's not so, and things feel somewhat under control, right?
For sure.
But you look back at grad school. I mean, grad school while full time was maybe one of the more difficult seasons of our lives. But then I think there's reprieve from that as well, you know, and there's rest and there's seasons of rest and, specifically that God brings in. And so I think there's a conversation with God always going like, am I doing what you want me to be doing?
For sure. You know? And I feel like we have learned and grown in that.
Yeah.
Even like with me working more, it was like, are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be gone more. And
well, even with this podcast, like we've had to take stock quite a bit, you know, there's a time strain that happens with this thing.
For sure.
And we've both sat down, we've both listened, and I feel like it's a go still, right? We both feel like it's something I should be doing and pursuing. And until God says otherwise, that's all I know to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Good answer.
JG, there's questions confronting me.
What are you burdened by and what do you want, like what area do you want to see change in?
Like personally or?
I don't know.
What am I burdened by? I'm burdened for kids, I think, and families. I mean, we talk about it a lot, but we're an adoptive family, right? And we do a lot of work with other families who have adopted or in foster care or safe families. And man, people just struggle
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we struggle, but like, it's hard to like be in community with people and see other people struggling and not step in. And I'm just so burdened for, especially that community. If you don't know anything about the adoption and foster care community, kids from hard places, which is, you know, kids who have been in foster care or have been adopted. These kids have experienced loss and they've experienced trauma and they behave in bizarre ways that you can't even fathom, right? And are just not understandable. They're not reasonable. They're not logical. And sometimes families get into this stuff without having any clue what they're getting themselves into, you know? And people struggle and they struggle as a married couple, right? There can be a lot of bitterness towards like, why did you get me into this? Mm-hmm. You know, there can be just a lack of knowing where to go. And so I think we are as a couple, very burdened for that community,
for sure. You know,
man. Yeah. It's tough.
Tough.
So I think I could speak to, I'm stopping there because I could speak to that for
ever.
Yeah. Which means it's a good burden, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
So that actually leads into our final, listener question, which is, what was our adoption process like? And I feel like so often on the podcast, you talk about how deeply we value adoption and foster care. And, but I don't think we've ever shared our story in this platform. And so, yeah, I'm wondering if that's something you're up for sharing about.
Yeah, sure. I would say you should only ask somebody about their adoption journey once they've received placement.
For sure. Don't ask them along the way.
Right. I mean, just, yeah. Where do you even begin? I mean, it is the most expensive. It is so much more expensive than you can even fathom. Both financially, it is very expensive financially, and emotionally.
Yes.
We were in the process for 3 years.
To the month.
Yeah. And a year of that was paperwork, and a year of that was straight up just stupid freaking waiting. And
2 years of that.
What did I say? Sorry.
1 year.
A
paperwork.
Year was paperwork. Sorry. And then two years of waiting. Sorry. I miss. And those 2 years were some of the hardest I've ever been through. And it, you can't see it, right? Because if you're not going through it or haven't been through it, you can't possibly understand the emotional toll that, you know, when there's a birth mother who's wanting to, you know, place their child for adoption, what they do is they find all the families that meet certain criteria that are in the agency, right? And they send their profile books to this birth mother, and she looks through 5-ish books of like this family's whole lives and has the, I would say, impossible task of picking from them
for sure
where her child is going to go. And the, so when your profile is being shown, you could literally have a child at any moment. Yeah. And your life could change at any second. And so for weeks you were on edge thinking, this could be it, you know, it could happen at any moment. And then you're just set up for disappointment over and over and over again.
Yes.
Man, every time we got that call saying, this one's not yours, it was absolute hell. You know, it was torture.
Because you never knew when in the next 2 to 3 weeks you would be getting that email saying, this wasn't your time.
Yeah. It is a grueling process. And I don't mean that to like dissuade anyone from the adoption process. Adoption is beautiful. But I do think people should know what they're sort of getting themselves into. Maybe.
For sure.
All that said, those 3 years were some of the worst that we've sort of walked through, but that little dude sitting upstairs right now could not be more a part of our family, right? I mean, he was meant to be a part of our family from the beginning of time. There is no doubt in my mind, you know? And so, how do you argue with that? Right? Like, he was worth every second of those 3 years. I would have waited another 3 for him, you know, but
when you're you don't in know it, that. You don't feel it.
You don't.
Are you willing to share like about how he became ours? Like just those few days?
Yeah, sure. So we hadn't had a profile showing in a while. Right. It was kind of dead silent. We had just gone through the season of Advent, which is always a difficult season in the adoption process, right? The expectancy of a baby, right?
And I'm like, forget you, Advent.
Right.
I don't want to expect a baby. I want a baby.
Funny enough, a very close couple friend of ours had received placement of their child, who had started the process after us, had received placement of their child on December 24th. And I think we were really struggling with that. Rejoice with those who rejoice, right? But at the same time, it was hard, and there was questions.
On us, not about them as people.
Questions of God, questioning God. And so I hadn't heard anything in a while. And I think I was standing in the kitchen.
I was at work.
You were at work and you got the email. I got the email standing in the kitchen. Okay. I was telling it from my perspective, sorry, JJ. I was standing in the kitchen. I got an email, and like before I even opened it, I just knew that this child was ours. It was I don't even know if I read that it was a boy, right? It was just like, I saw the email and just knew. So why don't you tell your side of the story?
Well, so we'd said no to at least 12 times of our profile being shown, and had at least 12 times that we'd chosen to be shown and weren't picked. Right. And every time we were being shown, I just knew this was our baby. And every time Curry would say, like, I don't think it is. And it drove me bananas, because I got to the point of asking, will you know when it's time? Because you always say no. And I think that's your self-preservation. So I was actually at work that night that we got the call about, did we want to be shown? And so we actually didn't talk about it until the next morning, because
right,
I worked insane hours and wasn't home till like 1 a.m.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So JJ got home. It was that morning. We were getting the other two ready for school, which is always the most hectic part of the day. And so we start to talk about it. Right. And she's like, what did you think? Do you think you want to have that profile shown? And I was like, I don't even want to tell you what I think.
I think the exact words were, I have something to tell you, but you have to promise not to freak out. And I said, okay, no, really.
Yeah.
I need you to promise me that you're not going to freak out.
Right. Yeah. So she finally coaxed it out of me, and I said, I think this is our baby, right? So of course I want our profile shown. Yeah. And so I think you went and called our caseworker, right? With just the news, and it was supposed to be a really simple phone call. Hey, we want to have our profile shown. Shouldn't have been a big deal. So JJ calls our caseworker, gets a hold of her, crazy enough.
And also, Curry has said, this is our baby, and I know that we're in this 2 to 3 week wait period,
right,
of giving our book and thinking, like, how do I sit in this for 3 weeks? I'm gonna die.
Yeah. So you call our caseworker, and she has never done this before, but she's like, hey, I would like for you and Curry to both get on the phone. Can you please? It's like, yeah, it's 8:30 and we're trying to get our kids ready for school, but sure. We'll put them in another room and get on the phone with you, whatever. Right. So we go into the room and she tells us, hey, we've already decided, that if you said yes to this, that he's yours. And so that day we, found out that he was ours almost. It wouldn't be finalized until Friday evening of that week. And so we, spent the next 3 days driving an hour and a half each way to Evanston to go visit him, for the next 3 days, found out he was ours on Friday
night,
and then
told our kids on Saturday,
right?
And he came home on Monday.
And we did a lot of driving, but it's kind of crazy, like even going back and seeing where we first held him and met him and all that stuff. It's pretty surreal. So adoption's beautiful,
and it's really hard.
And it's hard. Same with, I think the same is true of foster care. You know, we haven't been foster parents, but we know a lot about the foster community, and I think some of the difficulties with adoption sort of lead people to believe that foster is a better option. It's much cheaper. And most people don't know what they're getting themselves into with foster care, you know?
Sure.
So that could be a topic for another time, probably.
Another podcast. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, thanks for sharing. And I mean, I feel like in knowing who we are and as adoption continues to be a significant part of the podcast, I think it's important that our story is shared of, you know, how we grew our family. Yeah. So
maybe if anybody has questions about, you know, adoption,
we're your people.
Yeah, we'd be happy to talk about it. We talk about it a lot. We are going to the Christian Alliance for Orphans conference in 2 weeks to represent Replanted Ministry. We have the Refresh Conference, the Replanted Conference in October. Here in Chicago, which is a massive conference for adoptive foster families and people who
want to love and support foster and adoptive families. And so I think we believe we have such health on our journey because there are people who chose to like enter the muck with us.
Yeah.
And yeah, it takes a village to raise all the children. It takes a village to, you know, come around a family who's chosen foster care adoption.
Yeah, especially in that community. If you know people who are adoption and or foster care, they need your love.
For sure. You can also buy the book from Jen and Josh Hook.
Ooh,
called nice. Replanted. Yes. We'll put a link in show notes.
Yes, we will. That's a great book.
It's a great book by people we love who, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people who are not called to foster and adopt, but want to care for those families. And reading Jen and Josh's book is a great way to get practical advice. So I feel like we kind of hijacked your episode to talk adoption, but I think it's such an integral part of our life and ministry that...
Well, it speaks to that burden piece, right? I mean, we talked about that. It speaks to who we are, why we do what we do. Why? I mean, Jen and Josh have both been on the podcast sort of talking about some of that.
For sure. Know. He'll link those episodes in the show notes too.
Well, and even the National Angels.
Susan Ramirez, Ashley
Michelle
Ingram.
McKinney.
There'll be a lot of episodes linked, but I think if that's something that interests you, it's worth going back and listening to some of those episodes. So any final thoughts?
I cannot believe we're at 50 episodes.
Right. I hope we're sitting here next year doing the same.
Yeah. Here's to the next 50, I guess. Right. I mean, I think that's all I got. I wish I had something like pithy and like awesome to say.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you. It's incredible. It's incredible work. Just a shout out to all the people who are listening and interact on social media and who buy the stuff in the Threadless shop and who, you know, rally around this vision. 'Cause that's really cool and you are appreciated. So,
Amen.
A huge shout out to those who, you know, have come around and supported us on this journey. One of our crazy things that we've done, and mad props to you for doing incredible work. So,
How about this? Until next time, get out there and hustle.
Love it.
All right. Perfect. Thanks, babe. Great job.
Thanks.
Well, I know I sort of already did the outro earlier in the episode, but I thought it'd be a nice time to just finish off the 50. Yeah, just say thanks like I opened it. Thank you to everybody. We are on to the next one, to episode 51, coming out next week. I am excited about what the year holds. If there's some stuff you want to see happening with Theology of Hustle and you have ideas or thoughts, like, hit me up. I'm always down to talk. Let me know what you think. Let me know what I'm missing, people that I should be talking to or concepts that I should be talking about, whether you like more of this type of episode or what I normally do or whatever. You know, whatever it is, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you think. And I've already said it before, but I think it bears repeating. Until next time, get out there and hustle.